to Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. This is what the victorious locker room sounded like yesterday. Here was D'Amico Ryans. The voice you're going to hear at the end of this is Stephon Diggs breaking the team down at the end of this locker room speech. Here is D'Amico Ryans with his team following a scintillating 23-20 win over the Buffalo Bills.
Hey, congratulations, man. Awesome win. Awesome win. Awesome win. Hey, man, we talked about it, man, playing complimentary football. Everybody relying on each other. Each phase, special teams, defense, offense, when we needed it most. Defense, you get a stop. Rob, you get the return. And then with the 59 yards. Where's Emi? Here we go. Hey, Texans all-time leading scorer. Awesome. Hey, we talked about getting better. We got better this week, all right? We stepped up and made plays when we needed to make plays. Everybody executed. That's what it looked like, boys. Hey, let's keep going. Let's keep getting better. Let's keep grinding. Let's go, baby.
Hey, y'all know how much that meant to me. I appreciate y'all. I love y'all. But the biggest thing, we got to get back to work, man. That was a hell of a win, but we got to get back to the grind on the next week, man. Love y'all boys, man. Texas on three. 1, 2, 3.
There you go.
This is kicker records are always weird because that is really nice. And that's I feel it does a disservice, though, too, because I like how many people on that team or listening know who he surpassed to be the – if they didn't see it in the stat – to be
do you
the
know?
All-time
I don't
leading
know.
Story. Yeah, it was Chris Brown.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, Chris Brown, who I feel was underrated as a kicker.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, he got run out of Pittsburgh in the year that Heinz Field was basically a sand pit.
Yeah.
And they wanted to blame him, even though all the other... But anyway, Chris Brown was the leading scorer up until that point. So, I'm more... I like just the actual clutch moments that Kyme Fairbairn
sure.
has had. And particularly in this year, where they've been so good in these one-score games. That without Kyme Fairbairn... This is...
They're 2-3.
Yeah, yes.
Right?
Very easily 2-3
yeah,
right now.
Yeah, like, I think like that's... Yeah,
I mean, go back to various games. Well, the Minnesota game, it didn't matter. But when they knocked him out of field... when they knocked him from a 54-yarder to a 59-yarder.
And he made it.
And he hits it. Like, yeah. These kinds of mistakes you get away with when you... And you can play conservatively, you know, at midfield when you know that Kyme can boom it in.
Maybe even 1-4. I'm just saying 2-3 because they probably find a way to win one of those games.
Yeah.
But he... there's put it this way. No chance they're 4-1 without Kyme Fairbairn.
Right, right.
No chance. He is, you could make an argument. I know it's tough to, it's apples and oranges when you're comparing a kicker to a guy that's out there 70 snaps taking a pounding every week.
Yeah.
But you can make an argument that Kyme Fairbairn's the most valuable player this year.
There's, especially with Nico. The two guys where you say, oh, wow, they'd really be in rough shape without those two guys, as other than the quarterback. I think that,
I'm not saying he's the MVP. I'm just saying
right.
He's in the conversation.
No, definitely, definitely. Yeah. The way these things have played out. No, that would be an interesting dynamic. If this Texans, please don't do this, but if they went through the season and they've got like 14 wins and they're all one score wins.
I'm not going to make it.
Then, Kyme Fairbairn, MVP of the league.
I'm not going to make it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to. I need a nice 2 or 3
can I get
touchdown
a drubbing?
Win. Yeah.
Can you, look. What are the Texans favored by right now? Touchdown?
Seven.
They're favored by 7 over New England. Yeah. I'm not taking New England or Jacoby Brissett or anybody lightly whatsoever.
No.
Not one bit. But it is also an opportunity to actually just go in and take care of business.
Right.
Like, it stacks up well enough that if you guys play clean football, and especially if Nico Collins is healthy, then you really should be able to have a nice, boring fourth quarter convincing victory. Please, let's do this.
Yep. Agreed. All right, let's,
for the good of Houston.
Yeah, no kidding.
They just lost their baseball team.
For the health of Houston, please.
Do you even care? Do you care about them losing their baseball team? What?
I mean, they got knocked out of the playoffs.
It feels like a loss, Sean.
Dude, it feels weird.
I mean, it feels like a death. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with myself with all this extra time.
That's not an exaggeration.
Yeah.
Like, there's baseball on TV today, and I have zero desire to watch it.
Randy's going to be nicer to me.
That's good. Well, that's a positive.
It's dicey now with this potential broken rib that I have. Now she knows all she has to do is press a thumb into my ribs. Yeah.
Especially when you're basically telling her that's all she needs to do right now, and she listens.
I had to wait for my black eye to clear up before we went back, because I didn't want people thinking that Brandy was beating me.
I had more people texting me over the last few days asking if you're okay.
Yeah, I'm fine.
There were a lot of people checking on you. You got a lot of people in your corner, man, that care deeply about you.
It's been, and yet, with the bludgeoning that I took physically over the course of 8 days last week.
Yeah.
In the week before. Yesterday was harder. Emotionally. The game was harder. I got to sit in the stands for the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
My young nephew, remember the one that Bill O'Brien gave diabetes?
Yeah, when he traded Hopkins.
The day of the Hopkins trade.
Traded Hopkins, kid gets diagnosed with diabetes the same day.
Yeah, he went into a diabetic coma.
Yep.
Or shock, diabetic shock. Yeah, because of
nothing,
Bill O'Brien.
Yep.
He was there.
He was there.
Yeah. He's fine.
Any PTSD from walking in the building or anything?
No. But so we're there in the third quarter. It was loud, man. From the press box, you can't tell necessarily. And I was curious about, with all the Bills fans, what it was going to be like.
Yeah.
It was loud.
I heard. I heard it. And my wife was there. She's a season ticket holder. She said it was so loud. It was fun. All right, let's relive some of the fun moments and not so fun moments. Kind of the twists and turns of this game. Texans got up in this game. The Bills scored first. 3-0. It was the only time the Texans would trail because Cam Akers. Now, this is how it's drawn up right here.
Stroud digs in. Stover in motion to the left. Hand off Akers over the left side. 10 to the outside. 5 to the end zone. Cam Akers, touchdown, Houston. 15-yard run by Cam Akers as the Texans take the lead on the Bills.
Basically untouched. He's patient. He waits. Cade Stover. You heard Vandy say it. Stover in motion to the left. Great seal-off block there on the edge. The left part of the line is flowing to the right. Stover's handling the left, and Cam Akers just waltzes right
there. There's a really nice counter where both Cade Stover and Dalton Schultz had to have nice blocks. And then also, they took advantage on that play of where, you know, these defenses are doing all these different things to try to confuse CJ. So they're rotating coverages. And they caught the Bills rotating their coverage at the snap, and it puts a lot of guys out of position. There were a few times yesterday where they did a really good job of taking that, the disguises of the defense, and making it work against them. The one Ogunbowale throw to the left sideline that went for like 15 or 20 yards, they did a really nice job of the linebacker that was responsible for Dare was up at the line showing blitz. We're going to get all funky on you, right? And Dare just jets out of the backfield, doesn't block, leaves the defensive end unblocked, and they hit him. So there were a few nice plays like that, both in the run and pass.
There were some CJ had some nice like safety valve plays where he had guys in his face, and he just, either whether it was to the left or the right, he just threw it, knowing Dare or one of the tight ends was going
to
be there.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that's hopefully going to start to click and show up with more rhythm, I think, and more consistency is just, all right, when defenses do this funky stuff, it does put them in a weak position, but you just got to be able to find it.
It's hard
to
do
against the well-executed defenses, but they did a better job of it yesterday.
This was a huge play in the game on both good and bad levels for the Texans.
First down Texans to begin this possession at the Houston 33. Stroud fakes the toss. He has time in the pocket. He's going to gun it long, and Nico Collins is there at the 15-10-5. Rock and roll! Touchdown, H-Town! A bomb from Stroud to Collins.
Okay, the good news, they went up 14-3 on that play. One play, 67-yard drive. Those are the best kind of drives. The bad news is Nico Collins pulled up lame with a hamstring injury. Now, it does not sound like this is a serious hamstring injury. I saw Aaron Wilson's report after I got done doing all my stuff last night with the podcast and everything. I wish I'd seen it before that, because my whole thing, Seth, was, all right, we got to keep an eye on whether or not they put Nico on IR this week.
Yeah.
You know, because that would be the big thing to keep an eye on, because if he goes on IR...
4-week IR.
It's a 4-week minimum, and honestly, if a hamstring injury is putting you on IR, then I almost feel like it's going to be more than 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, especially with a player like Nico. If there was any chance it would only be 3 or 4 weeks, they would just keep him active, and then... And anyways, I don't want to waste too much breath on this, because it sounds like he's skewing toward, he and Titus both with their hamstring injuries, they sound less severe than what I just illustrated.
The play with Nico, I'm watching right now, the point where CJ makes the decision to throw to Nico, and it was when the backup safety squares his hips back up towards the line of scrimmage, and Nico's already past the corner, and but the key thing there is does he have time to do it? And he had a nice clean pocket.
Yeah.
They left Blake Fisher alone on the right side, and he had a really nice rep in pass protection. And it was as clean a pocket as CJ had all day, and it was perfect. That was a really nice job on multiple accounts there.
Yep. So that put them up 14-3. Texans force a punt. They get the ball back, and they go on another drive. And they are in the middle of what ended up being an 11-play, 65-yard drive that had eaten up 6 minutes and 45 seconds. The problem was the final play of this drive was this decision on 4th and 1.
Stroud gets behind the center, Juice Scruggs. Handoff, Dari, straight ahead. I don't think he's got it. They did not get the surge, and the Bills celebrate. Texans drive thwarted.
Okay, so that was set up. They were moving, man. They were humming. They got to the Buffalo 25-yard line, and then on 1st and 10, Cam Akers gets a yard at 2nd and 9. They run a end around with Tank. I'm getting kind of the stuff they run with Tank behind the line of scrimmage is not working for me right now.
Well, that's some of it pays dividends when he's not getting the ball though too. Just the threat of it. Yeah,
fair.
I mean, that's it. But yeah,
it wasn't working for me on this drive because he got stopped behind the line of scrimmage. Yeah. Dare gets 13 yards of it back. I guess there was some conjecture over whether it was a good spot or not.
Yeah,
we
were watching on TV, so
it should have challenged it.
I have issues with the play call, and I think really right now with this offense, I don't have as many issues with the play calling itself as others do because it's a matter of just executing the play calls. When you're getting stuffed. Ogunbowale got stuffed for no gain or a loss 6 times in that game.
Yeah.
One of them was on this 4th and 1. Did you play the play-by-play yet?
We just did.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was trying to dial it up.
No worries.
This is not the team. This is your team right now. At what point up to that point did you think, oh, yeah, Ogunbowale up the middle.
Right.
We're going to mash it in.
When all 22 guys are all within about a foot of the ball.
The box is like there's 11 in the box.
Yeah.
And I think what they thought, they did have the defense trying to adjust right before the snap. Maybe if they'd been quicker with it. I thought at first maybe if they'd been quicker with it, if the official had gotten out there faster and the whole operation was faster, they might have ambushed him. But the defensive tackles just beat the snot out of those guys on the inside.
Yeah,
Shaq Mason got driven back. I mean, it
was bad.
There was no, that's not who they are. That's where I'll question Bobby Slowick. Like, you don't just get to wish it into existence.
Right.
Like, you know, I think sometimes coaches feel like this is where we'll prove to ourselves that we're tough. Well, like, no. Prove you're tough by consistently winning physical battles in the run game, and that's not the offensive line that does it.
No, and this was yet another one of those times with the Texans where it feels like, man, they're on the cusp of really starting to turn this thing into a boat race.
Yeah.
I mean, they were humming offensively. They had the drive to get the first touchdown, the Cam Akers that we heard. They had the one-play drive with Nico getting the touchdown. No Nico on this drive, and yet they're still moving the ball down the field. They're eating up clock. They had the ball for over 6 minutes. And then you line up on this 4th and 1, and it's just a big schmoz out there. So,
and I don't, you know, on that one too, I don't know what CJ's process was on that, and maybe you could have gotten him a false. I thought they were going to try to get a false start. I mean, offsides,
maybe.
Yeah, especially when you go up quick.
Yeah,
don't give them time to think about it. Don't let the linebackers remind guys to hold their water.
They're nervous.
Yeah.
Now the Texans would put more points on the board before the half, and it was set up by this return by Robert Woods.
Sam Martin unloads the punt. Robert Woods backtracking. Again, a deep punt at the 14. Woods to his left, 15, 20. Woods, 25, sideline, 30, 35, 40, 45, and pushed out of bounds. A great run back by Robert Woods with 30 seconds to go. The Texans can score. They have 2 timeouts to work with.
Yeah, that was a big return by Robert Woods had an interesting day yesterday. That was a huge return. There was less than a minute left in the half. It was 36 yards. It set the Texans up at their own 49-yard line. They would go on to get a field goal to go up 17-3. Then in the second half, Robert Woods decided to field a punt at the Texans' 2-yard line, which he basically downed a punt for the Bills.
That was that was an underrated dicey moment in the game when they were backed up.
Yeah.
It was 20-17.
Yeah.
I had predicted 20-19.
I
was nervous then that I made that prediction. I didn't want it like
that. Oh, like it would have been
a safety and have to be 20-19.
Yeah. This game played out exactly how you predicted it would. You didn't get the score exactly right. But this played out exactly how you predicted it would.
I took the under,
you said it would be a close game with a bunch of field goals and the Texans would win it at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that you were... early acknowledgement for Seth Payne, Ben, real
sweet.
Quick. Yeah.
Acknowledge me!
You were. I thought about that after the game. I'm like, man, Seth had you had the game script.
A lot of
on.
It, and I was trying to hint at it, but I didn't want to be braggadocious and, in the face of the Bills coming in. I didn't know exactly how the Bills were going to be able to operate versus this Texans defense. It's not the Ravens defense or the Vikings defense, but without Khalil Shakir. And some of the stuff, the stuff that the Bills had been doing versus bad teams, it doesn't age well over the course of the season with the guys that they have right there. So, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't have predicted that Josh Allen is going to go 9 for 30 for 130 yards.
Literally the worst completion percentage for a quarterback in 30 years in a game where they've thrown 30 or more passes.
So I guess I have to thank Nico Collins for getting injured, for preserving the under
keeping
on that.
Keeping it closer.
I'm glad they committed a bunch of penalties in the third quarter. So thank you. I appreciate you looking out for me.
All right, so Woods had an interesting day because he had that punt return to set up a field goal. He had a bad decision that we just talked about. He had a punt return before the final field goal that was a huge 13 yards. So I'm good with Robert Woods. Circling back to the fourth quarter now, though. So the Texans are up 17-3. They score coming out of the locker room to go up three scores, 20-3. And then the Bills get back in this game. A bunch of penalties by the Texans in the third quarter. And then C.J. Stroud in the fourth quarter, for whatever reason, had his worst quarter as an NFL quarterback, and it started with this.
Second and 7 at the Buffalo 33-yard line. Stroud under center, one back, Darren. C.J. takes the snap, fakes the handoff, looking, throws over the middle, it's intercepted. At the 20-yard line, as C.J. threw it into the arms of Terrell Bernard, third year out of Baylor, and the drive stops.
And again, this was another drive where the Texans were moving the football. 10 plays, 55 yards, and they'd eaten up over 5 minutes of clock. And they're up at that point 20-17, and you're feeling like, okay, this is the game where they're not going to let this thing go to the last minute.
Yeah.
Go down and get a dagger touchdown and put these guys back down by 10.
CJ, after the game, credited Bernard on that. It looked like he was going to carry Schultz.
Yoki-doki.
And then he switched over and stayed in his zone. So CJ misread that a little bit. At first, I had thought that maybe he thought that Diggs was going to sit on that route, but it wasn't even. It was just a really good job by the linebacker there.
Yep.
So it was. CJ doesn't throw a bunch of interceptions. The guys get duped over the middle with things like that, and I don't worry about it. I don't think that all of a sudden it's CJ's going to become turnover.
No. And I'm not worried about CJ Stroud. It was a bad quarter, but I'm not worried about him. Texans defense comes up big. They force a punt. On five plays, 22 yards, they force a punt, so they get the ball back. And they get the ball back. That was the punt where Robert Woods caught it at the 2-yard line.
Yeah.
So now you're up 20-17, and you're starting first and 10 at your own 2. You get a first down, thanks to Dare Gumbawale, a run off left guard, and then a run up the middle. Two Dare Gumbawale runs get them at least out of the shadows of their own end zone. And then two crucial plays back-to-back. Dare drops a ball out in the flat that would have kept the clock moving and gotten a first down.
Underrated atrocious moment.
That was a circle it moment because at that point you're working the clock as much as anything else.
Yeah.
And Dare dropping that pass stops the clock, and you're now second and 10. Instead of first and 10, probably at like your own 25 or 30 yard line because he had room to run.
Mm-hmm.
Even he's catching the ball. He turned around. He had 10 yards to run. Now it's 4.5 minutes, clock is stopped at 2nd and 10, and then this happens.
2nd down and 10 from the Houston 14. Dell in motion to the right, joins two other receivers. Here's CJ looking right. CJ pocket collapsing. He loses the football, and it looks like the Bills might have it. CJ fumbled inside the 15, and the Bills recover. No way. Another turnover, and this time the Bills in the red zone automatically.
Yeah, that was tough.
CJ has done a really good job with his pocket movement this year. That's the smaller stuff, just the moving within the pocket, just sidestepping
really
pressure, all that.
Yeah.
I thought yesterday might have been some of the most impressive actual scrambling I've seen out of him.
Yeah, yeah.
There were some times, and a couple of them ended up being incompletions, but the point where I was a little bit nervous on some of those when he was spinning out of trouble, that he was putting the ball in danger too much.
Yeah, he did.
And there, yeah, this was... Now, this... The fumble I would worry more about than the interception. The interception was a classic NFL quarterback, Hall of Famers make that mistake, whatever. I don't want him to get too loose with the football.
Yeah.
But I don't want his newfound athleticism to lull him into complacency.
Newfound athleticism.
He's got a sneaky athleticism. Part of it is that he's big. Kind of like Mahomes is bigger than you think he is and bigger than you realize.
He's a big dude.
So he's strong enough to stay up and keep his eyes downfield while guys are falling off of him. But you just got to be careful with the football.
Defense holds the Bills to a field goal, so I would submit defense does their job there again.
Yeah.
The Texans get the ball back. They are forced to punt after CJ gets the intentional grounding penalty while they were in field goal range. Penalty drives them out of field goal range. Texans have to punt the ball. Tommy Townsend pins the Bills deep. Josh Allen throws three incomplete passes. Texans get the ball back thanks to a Robert Woods return to about the Buffalo 46-yard line. You still need a few more yards to get into field goal range.
First down at the 46-yard line of Buffalo. Stroud gets the snap. Stroud looking to his right. He's using a lot of time. Throws it over the middle. Down inside the 41-yard line. Timeout called. 2 seconds to go.
I have time to kick it right here.
Vandy.
That was nifty.
Yeah, Vandy's so good. He's using a lot of time. You can feel
it. It was. I know, and from our vantage point, we're on the far side of the field, yeah, and you're seeing him run towards the sideline. And he had just dropped that pass earlier.
Dare, you're talking
about. Yeah, Dare.
Yeah.
And all I was thinking was like, don't do it, Dare. Don't run out of bounds. What are you doing?
Go down. You had three timeouts. Yeah, he did.
It was, I thought I was watching Yordan Alvarez out there. The slide was so magnificent.
Yes. I'm okay with Dare sliding.
So we got past the first down marker. It almost, remember, they spot it where you start the slide. So he had to be very careful to not start it until after he got past the first down.
Well, they weren't going. It was first and 10, and they just needed a few yards to get. You're saying get into field goal range.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I must have watched on the TV copy. They had the red line there.
This is a good transition into Acknowledge Me. So we have Dare setting up a 59-yard bomb for Kyahmi Fairbairn. We acknowledge Kyahmi Fairbairn today.
Acknowledge me.
Today, for the season, and for his entire career, in which he's now the leading scorer. This happened yesterday.
59-yard attempt for the win. Weeks with the snap. Tommy Townsend with the hold. And Kyahmi Fairbairn with a chance to give the Texans the victory. Here's the snap by Weeks. The spot. Here's the kick by Fairbairn. Has the distance. And it's good! Fairbairn wins it at the buzzer! The Texans beat the Bills! 59 yards for the dub on H-Town Day! 23-20.
That was cool, man. Yeah, H-Town
Day.
Good
call, Andy.
Founders Day.
That was a lot of fun. I thought that, you know, and the Bills fans, for fans that show up in huge numbers, I think they're my most entertaining. They're not as obnoxious as they are when they're at home, but they're also super drunk, and they wear those Zubas, and they're
committed to the gimmick.
Committed to the gimmick. Yeah. They wear their shirtless the way they are in 0-degree weather. They were in hot weather. So I didn't actually mind their presence there yesterday.
Wasn't bad. Well, and it was.
Is it because I grew up up
you
there?
You grew up around them, around those people. But I thought the Texan fans did a great job when they needed to at the game.
It was super loud. Yeah, I never felt like it. It didn't feel like it has in recent years where there's a lot of opposing fans and then not enough home fans to counterbalance it.
When Andy Reid thanked the fans on a road game here at NRG Stadium.
Like, son of a, he did?
Yeah, remember that in 2022 in the Lovey year. Yeah.
That's it.
It's like the crowd was great today. I'm like, yeah.
I know everybody hates Andy Reid, but now I'm going to make it even worse.
I'm going to save Kyahmi's post-game comments just so we can get more acknowledgements in. We'll get Kyahmi in between now and the end of the show, but I want to acknowledge Azeez Al-Shaair.
Acknowledge me!
8 tackles, 1 TFL, 2 pass breakups, each of which could have been an interception. Couple of quarterback hits. He was in the ER, according to Aaron Wilson, on Saturday and lost 10 pounds. He was on the injured list.
Intentionally? Yeah, treadmill?
No. He lost it in a way where Amy always hears stuff like that, and she's like, oh, I need to get sick.
You lose fluids in either one end or both. It's not fun. And then to go out and play football.
Right.
I'm glad that it's climate controlled. It's a lot harder to do that when it's 95 degrees out.
They were playing Miami or something like that.
I was nervous, man, after he missed that first tackle in the first series, and it was an uncharacteristic miss by him.
Yeah.
I thought afterwards he looked just didn't quite look right.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it took, it shocked him into looking a lot like his normal self.
Yes,
the linebackers, the front seven in general versus the run, we need Christian Harris back. They're just too light. Everything, they're just playing nickel all the time, and they're too light.
They don't have enough bodies at that position.
But Azeez Al-Shaair and his ability too, where when Josh Allen is going to flush, The ability of Aziz and others at times to track him down on the sideline and keep it to a 1 or 2 yard gain. That was big yesterday.
That was huge. That they had guys that could run with Josh Allen when Josh Allen was running laterally was massive in that game.
Who hit Josh Allen maybe kind of sort of out of bounds early on? Was it Mario Edwards?
I don't know. Early on. I'm thinking of the play where Josh Allen looked like he was trying to flip it back into the field of
play.
Yeah,
that one, yeah.
I don't remember who hit him.
Okay. Oh, no, that was in the third quarter, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was in the third quarter.
That was in the first. That was when he called it a basketball. So that was in the first half, right?
I don't remember.
The official said he let go of the basketball, after he was already out of bounds.
Said on the mic. Yeah.
Lopez did the quick research. The guy's a high school basketball
referee. A lot of them are. Gene Steratore is a basketball referee, too. A lot of those guys, they like being officious. You know what I mean?
They like bossing people around.
They like bossing people around. Yeah.
They were probably in the HOA.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. HOA Steratore. The Texans pass defense yesterday.
Acknowledge.
I just want to rattle off a few numbers here. The Bills wide receivers caught 4 of 18 targets. 4 of 18. That is the worst wide receiver completion percentage or completion percentage to wide receivers by the Bills since 2009. It's the worst in an NFL game since the Rams in Jared Goff's rookie year in week 12 with a minimum of 15 targets to wide receivers. So the Texans did a great job bottling up what is probably one of the lesser wide receiver groups, but they did their job. Josh Allen goes 9 for 30, the worst completion percentage in 30 years in a game for a quarterback with at least 30 attempts. Let's credit the rush as well. That Josh Allen didn't get brought to the ground a lot, but he was running for his life all day. 16 dropbacks he was pressured on, and he was 1 for 14 for 24 yards on those dropbacks. And he was 0 for 5 after he bounced his head off of the turf late in the game.
So on a clean, I wasn't totally even really clean. A hit. He was just going down.
A drag to the ground.
Yeah.
And when you're trying to throw it, you're vulnerable like that, you know? So good day. That's why I say pass defense. Not the secondary, not the rush, both of them.
Yeah, no, and I think there were some wide open guys underneath at times. But when you look at the sum total of it, the strategy worked. Mm-hmm. They just the Bills were able to scheme some stuff up over the middle. It helped too that there were some pretty bad drops. It's just not a good wide receiving core.
No.
But on the sum total of it, it was the pass rush, which only yielded one sack, but did make Josh Allen very uncomfortable and did force some bad throws. And then ultimately he took a bunch of hits.
Yeah.
He's
gonna die by week 10.
I'm greedy for a scarier pass rush, but they're doing better than the sack total would suggest.
Yeah.
Outside of the Bears game, they haven't really amassed a bunch of sacks.
Dylan Horton.
Acknowledge me.
I haven't seen the snap counts yet. I know Dylan Horton was on the field yesterday. I haven't seen how many snaps. Of course, Dylan Horton, second-year defensive end who's coming back from stage 4 cancer. It shocked me when he was activated this week.
Yeah, I didn't know he'd be on the active roster at all this year.
Yeah, let alone in week 5 against the Bills. I have not had a chance to go back and see how he did. I have not had a chance to look at the snap counts and see how many snaps he played. This is purely Dylan Horton getting acknowledged for being back on the field in less than a year.
Mm-hmm.
He was put on the illness list in December of last year. Just an absolutely remarkable story. So, Dylan Horton, we acknowledge you.
He took 15 snaps on defense.
Okay. I mean,
I didn't realize he played that much.
Yeah, wow. I mean, they're down a couple guys. Jerry Hughes on IR, Derek Barnett banged up. So, they needed Dylan Horton yesterday to get those 15 snaps in. A little college football. Vanderbilt football.
Acknowledge
Vandy.
This
is
sexy.
Yeah. Well, 40
to some Jay Cutler.
40-35. They beat the number one team in the country. This is just a couple of weeks after apparently Nick Saban said that in an interview, but maybe on McAfee or something like that. I've not seen it. I only heard people talking about it. That every place in the SEC is tough to play except for Vanderbilt.
Regular Lane Kiffin, this guy.
Yeah,
this kid trying to make a name for himself in media. Yeah.
I think he's got a future, but that was a bad take.
Yeah.
Because Alabama goes into Vanderbilt, they lose 40-35. Ben, did you bleep the appropriate parts of this?
These Vanderbilt kids. Potty mouths.
Diego Pavia, I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
Sure.
Is the quarterback for Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
This is him on the field after the upset of Alabama, talking to the ESPN sideline reporter.
Diego, you just beat the number one team in the country. What's going through your mind right now?
It's literally all God's timing. Literally from the jump. God gave me a vision when I was a little kid, and he don't let back any promises. It's God's timeline. I'm super thankful. Super thankful for guys like Eli Sowers. Man, that kid's incredible. The rest of our team. Look at this. Look at this. Daddy, we're f***ing turned.
So 5 seconds in, he's talking about God's vision, and then 15 seconds later, we're effing turn. And he cursed more. I just didn't get that.
Yeah, I don't. It would have been if it went straight from him giving his testimony to right into that. It would have been better. There was a little bit of a pause.
A little bit.
I want to play a character, a crass preacher.
The preacher that talks to the kids
the way that they want to be heard.
You ain't going to the NFL, Diego. Lean into it, man. Yeah. Lean into it. Now, here was Kalen DeBoer, the Alabama coach. This was his speech, locker room speech to his team after the game.
When you were a baby in your crib, your father looked down at you. He had but one hope. Someday my son will grow to be a man. Well, look at you now. You just got your asses whipped by a bunch of damn nerds. Nerds!
That's a powerful speech, man.
It's rough, man. That's what happened.
It's a powerful speech.
They got beat up by a bunch of nerds.
Yeah, yeah.
Not even like Stanford nerds. Or, it's a school, Notre Dame nerds or something like that. Vanderbilt nerds.
Vanderbilt
like
nerds.
Actual nerds.
Yeah.
Like nerds that, they actually really do become engineers and stuff.
They're
football players.
And they've been the punching bag of the SEC forever.
Yeah. That's rough, man.
Yeah.
Rough look for non-Saban head coaches, too.
College football is wild now. The NIL thing, everybody's worried it was going to make the great teams even greater. And in some degree, it probably has. But there were a ton of upsets this weekend. It was crazy.
There's more change in everything. It's already been like that in college football where your best players only stick around for a little while.
Yeah.
But now, it used to be because they'd enter the draft. Now it's because they're there for a year or two, and then they jump ship. And, man, it's hard to establish something.
All right, last acknowledgement. This is a personal one here. Amy, my wife, her coworker Sarah, one of the teachers that she teaches with.
We're acknowledging
Sarah. I found out this story this weekend. So this is one of the coldest things I've ever heard, man. So Sarah she's dating this guy, or she was, and ends up breaking up with him. Things went sideways. I don't want to go into the details, but let's just say it was his fault.
Okay.
I side with Sarah on this. So there's a lot of things, in relationships, you get revenge on your mind, especially if you feel like you were wronged in some way. This was genius. I've never heard of anybody doing this before, and if maybe I'm planting the seed in the minds of people in relationships out there to do this, then so be it. This was one of the coldest things I've ever heard. After she broke up with her boyfriend, or right around that time, when she knew she was breaking up with him, she went into his phone. So as soon as Amy says that, I'm like, oh, what did she do? Did she go on his Twitter account and tweet things out, or did she, see what was in his pictures or texts or whatever? She went into his phone and revenge jacked his fantasy football team.
Just blew it all to pieces.
Blew it to pieces. Put in Deshaun Watson as his quarterback.
Oh my gosh.
Traded his good quarterback for two crappy quarterbacks. Mm. Took all the injured players and questionable players and put them in the lineup.
He had
a lineup of all injured and questionable guys.
And he was all set for the week already.
He wasn't even going to check it. And needless to say, cost him money. It may cost him money
down
the road. That's really good.
It's relatively harmless in the grand scheme of things. She didn't boil his kid's rabbit or anything
like
that.
And yet, I bet it angered him more than several other more damaging things would have. You know what I mean?
As
someone who plays fantasy football, that would stick with me.
I had women like this, doing the relatively harmless but still the revenge thing. I had a friend in college who definitely had it coming to him when his girlfriend found out about the many things he'd done.
Yeah.
But she didn't slash his tires, but she let all the air out of his tires.
That's good. Then he doesn't have to buy.
Well, right. But when he had to get to, he actually ended up being late for a football workout because of it. He goes out to his car to go drive to the field house and they're all flat. Yeah.
Oh, man.
That was acceptable. That didn't seem psychotic or anything.
No. Slashing the tires is next level.
Yeah.
Because now you're talking about you know, $1,500 for a, you know, four tires.
Yeah, that's when you sue her.
Yeah, yeah. But good job, Sarah.
Except you don't, because then you got to testify in court about why she was angry.
We need to repurpose this for tomorrow, because I bet there's some good stories out there of people,
yeah.
Like revenge stories.
That'd be like a good Wednesday or Thursday one. Yeah.
We'll repurpose that later this week. I'll keep that in the notes. All right, that's Acknowledge Me. We acknowledge the great performances in football or in relationships from over the weekend. All right, up next, we'll hear from Kyme Fairbairn. What was the process like? Kyme had to get himself up for a kick he thought he was going to have to make, and all of a sudden he doesn't have to kick, and then he's got to kick again in 40 seconds. What was Kyme Fairbairn's process, and what happened around the NFL this weekend that matters to Houston Texan fans? That is next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's Payne and Pendergast.
59-yard attempt for the win. Weeks with the snap, Tommy Townsend with the hold, and Kyme Fairbairn with a chance to give the Texans the victory. Here's the snap by Weeks, the spot. Here's the kick by Fairbairn. Has the distance, and it's good! Fairbairn wins it at the buzzer! The Texans beat the Bills! 59 yards for the dub on H-Town Day.
Great call.
23-20.
Great call. Acknowledge Mark Vandermeer for the call. Good call, Vandy. Great job on that and other calls throughout.
Acknowledge me.
Good job. Here's Kyme Fairbairn after the game. This was in the post game. We asked him first question. You had to get kind of mentally ready to kick
right.
The first time the Texans are in field goal range.
Right.
And CJ gets the penalty.
For CJ screwed him.
CJ gets the
did
penalty.
You phrase it that way?
For intentional grounding. I did. I wanted to be controversial. So now you're punting instead. They get the ball back, you know? And so I was really curious, like the mental process of going through the, you know, having to get yourself up emotionally. Now you get dialed back, staying ready. Here was Kyme Fairbairn kind of taking us through that whole thing.
The last minute is insane if you really think about it. Weirdly enough, we've talked about it in the preseason just with Tommy, especially because Tommy's been through some great, Tommy Townsend, the punter. He's been some wild games in Kansas City the past few years. And we were just talking about like always staying locked in. So, you know, we have that penalty that moves us back and then we punt and it's like, okay, I guess we get ready for overtime.
Yeah.
And then they get three stops. And then on the first one, I was like, okay, I better stay locked in. I went back to my net and kept warming up, kept staying. You know, I didn't really change my mindset, but getting the reps and just acting like I'm going to go back on the field. We got the punt return. And then it was like, okay, we maybe need 3, 4, 5 yards. We get the 5 and then, you know, hit it through. So, yeah, I think just mentally staying locked in and ready for whatever comes my way, keeping that calm presence and ready for whatever happens.
All right, so that was Kyme Fairbairn. It's really weird, just to give you a peek behind the curtain, Seth and I are in studio and Get Up is on right now, and they're running the whole sequence that Kyme was just describing,
yeah,
almost in synchronicity with his 1 minute cut right there.
That's the way things
cool.
tend to line up for us in the universe.
That was
I think
cool.
That was
gonna be a good day.
Okay, one of the more unexpected storylines that I did not expect. That feels like it mirrors the Astros a little bit in a weird way. Yeah, you got to have that veteran leadership from punters who have been on championship squads. That Tommy Townsend comes in, and because he's been in a lot of these tight situations, the Chiefs have made a business of coming from behind in the playoffs.
He's our
and
Carlos Beltran.
Yes, he's exactly like Carlos Beltran, except for hopefully the sign stealing part.
Yes,
The electronic part at least.
Right. Thought that was cool, man. Kyme was a good interview after the game yesterday.
I was actually kind of surprised that that he had to consciously think about the process. I expected him to be like, no, I've kind of like always been able to just stay calm and not think too much about what situation it is. I don't know how any of them do it.
In these situations, I'll say this. You know, if the Texans keep winning, they're going to be in the postseason. If they get in the postseason, they're going to be in close games where they're going to need kicks. Or they're going to need to make a play defensively. And while these games are going to probably make it so that you're going to have a new co-host by December, because I'm going to die from all the stress.
Very selfish of you.
They will be battle tested in these close games.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There is something to that.
I get the, you know, there's part of it where I feel much better after this victory, even though there's things that they still need to work on and clean up and everything. And maybe it's just the name brand appeal of Josh Allen and the Bills that makes it feel better. But I do think some of the stuff, man, you just get tired of hearing like, yeah, D'Amico's being asked, like, what does your team learn from this? Does it give him confidence? Yeah, but you can say that about every game that they've played so far. At some point, it just comes down to, all right, play better football more consistently.
Yeah, you know what else gives you confidence? Winning 28-10.
Yeah, that's also confidence.
Yeah. So around the league yesterday.
They've proven, they know and understand that it's possible to win close games.
Yeah.
Okay? They already knew that. They knew that last year. You want a little bit more than just knowing that it's possible to win close games.
Yeah. Boy, but Vandy has got a slew of great end-of-game calls thanks to this team over the last year and a half. 14 one-score games in the regular season in the D'Amico Ryans era, and he's only coached 22 NFL games so far. Mm. He's had 14 games go down to the last minute. It's wild. And they've won 7 of them in a row. Other games around the NFL yesterday that matter to the Texans, we'll rapid fire these real quick. Jacksonville beat the Colts yesterday, 37-34. No more winless teams in the NFL. Jacksonville, the last one to win a game. Colts are 2-3 now. So the Texans they're back to having a nice, comfortable two-game lead in the division again. So that's good. We like that. Next week's opponent, New England. They lost to a Miami team that's not very good without Tua Tagovailoa.
Tua didn't come back yesterday. Wasn't a surprise comeback that I missed in the headlines.
That's okay. Tua's music. Oh, my God. 15-10. Deshaun Watson, not a good day for him. That'll probably show up in the Pettycast tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Let's do that. You know what? I have to dig in, because I know that there was some misreporting about him walking off the field.
On fourth down.
They made it look like he was storming off the field and quitting. When it was actually just, no, there was a substitution, miscommunication.
Yeah, 12 guys in the huddle.
Yeah. So that wasn't that big a deal, except that it was in the ongoing saga of Deshaun simply not being a good quarterback anymore. That was bad.
Stat that I feel might irritate Seth Payne a little bit. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, all above 500 in a combined 10-5 at this
Ooh,
point.
Ooh, give me some. Why would it annoy me?
Well, because you and I are not big Bo Nix fans, and he's not the main reason they're 3-2 now.
Oh, yeah.
Jaden Daniels is the main reason that the Commanders are 4-1.
Bo Nix, though, he doesn't bother me personally. I just thought that it was annoying to me that there was all this fervor over him because of his preseason performance. And you go and watch the games, and you're like, no, this is the classic, okay, stuff you get away with in the preseason. Caleb Williams, there was a fervor over, and he was doing a lot of rookie stuff that he wasn't going to get away with, but he was also doing some pretty damn incredible stuff. Bo Nix, it was more like, okay, yeah, this is what happens when a good college quarterback plays against backups. So, I don't despise Bo Nix.
Okay. Well, 10-5, they're all 3-2 for the Bears, 3-2 for the Broncos, and 4-1 for the Commanders.
I despise Sean Payton.
You and I are both there. There you go. Yeah. And Bo Nix is kind of guilt by association.
Yeah, and I didn't used to despise him until he turned into a little gossipy, BS artist with Colin Cowherd when it came to interviewing with the Texans.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
And then acting like the Broncos never wanted D'Amico and didn't prefer D'Amico.
They wanted D'Amico.
He was very cocky about that.
Rightfully so. Someone asked on the text page, are you going to acknowledge Laramie for not getting any penalties? No. Acknowledge me is for elite performance, not for just doing your job.
That's like acknowledging Antonio Cromartie for not knocking a girl up or something. You know, like what? Good job.
Exactly,
you kept it in your pants. Okay.
Way to go. All right. So we got a big day here at the station. Keep it tuned here all day long. One of the biggest wins in the D'Amico Ryans era for sure. And one of the best endings in NRG Stadium history yesterday. Texans 23, Bills 20. Seth, antibodies too.
Antibodies, and I'm going to give you some banana bread.
I know, that looks good.
Jason Bristol's wife made it for
me. Ooh, look at that. All right, some banana bread coming up.